more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And especially let us consider the words that we find in the 12th verse. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And the writer of this epistle, in this part of the epistle, he is speaking of the excellency of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who excels all others. In this fairly large section of the epistle, from about the end of chapter 4 to about the middle of chapter 10, he is speaking about how the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ far surpasses the Levitical priesthood. The Levitical high priest as a type of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there is that comparison and yet a contrast. There is the typology, the elements in connection with the Levitical high priest that pointed forward to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there is at the same time that contrast, because the type is far inferior to the anti-type, to the fulfillment of the type. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one who is the excellent one, the one who does excel, and excel far above the Levitical high priest. These words were originally written to those who were Jews, who were familiar with the sacrifices and the various aspects and details of the priesthood, of the Levitical or Aaronic priesthood. And speaking of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the great high priest would mean so much to them. And as we think of some of the aspects of the Levitical priesthood, it can bring out so much for us of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here in this verse, in this portion, it is the sacrifice that is being spoken of. The sacrifices that the high priest offered at various times, and especially on the Day of Atonement. And what a comparison, and yet what a contrast to that glorious sacrifice that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offered up for his people, for all those who are called by his grace, all those who are enabled to believe upon him and to know what it is to delight in him. For you and for me, if we can say that of ourselves, this sacrifice was offered. And there is so much in these words that is precious about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for those for whom he is precious, his people. And as we look at these words for a little this evening, let us think first for a little about the Savior's glorious entry. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. He entered in once into the holy place. And secondly, let us consider the means of that entry. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. And finally, the purpose that was accomplished by that entry, having obtained eternal redemption for us. First of all, this glorious entry of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He entered in once into the holy place. This speaks of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, of course, the second person of the Trinity. The one who is truly God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory with the Father, who lay aside the glory of his divinity for a time and took a true human nature and lived upon the earth, suffered upon the earth for some 33 years, culminating in the agonizing death on the cross of Calvary. The second person of the Trinity, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who is the eternally begotten Son of God, the one who is all glorious, the one who is the sharing with the other two persons of the Trinity that sovereignty as King of Kings, and the one who in a particular way for his people is given that sovereignty in the covenant of grace. He is the King of his people in a particular way. This is the one who entered at the ascension, when he rose again from the dead, and some 40 days later ascended up into heaven. He entered into the holy place. That is heaven itself. The contrast is being made here in this chapter between the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that the high priest went into once a year, and the, as it were, the antitype of that, the Holy of Holies in heaven, as it were, that the Saviour entered into. In verse 24, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is heaven itself that Christ enters into. That purpose having been accomplished, the purpose for him coming to the earth, taking a true human nature, he came to save his people from their sins. That purpose has been accomplished. He has purchased a people for himself, and he enters into heaven. What a scene that must have been, as the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, having accomplished that which he came to accomplish, returns to heaven, to his rightful place, to the right hand of the Father, as the glorious Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of all who believe upon him. He returns as the King. A King returning from battle. A King returning victorious. He has gained the victory over Satan. And in those days, especially when kings returned from battle victorious, what rejoicing there was, what praise, what a glorious entry there was. Crowds gathered to praise and to greet them. What joy there was there as the king returned, safe and sound. And as the king returned victorious, the victory having been won, what rejoicing there would be. He returns as the priest, as the great high priest, having offered up that sacrifice of himself, having paid the penalty of sin, having achieved that purchase price for that great multitude that would follow after. He returns as the forerunner of that multitude, of all those who believe upon him, as it were at the head of that great army of those who will look to him, who will trust in him. Those who had already in the looking to his coming. And he enters into heaven as the returning Son. the Father having sent the Son into the world to accomplish that difficult task, that task that none other could have accomplished. No man could have achieved it. No angel in heaven could have achieved it. It required the Father to send His eternally begotten Son. He alone could achieve that work. And He accomplished that work perfectly and gloriously. And He returns to heaven. He returns to His Father. He returns to that place of His abode. That place where He dwells, where He belongs. Oh, what rejoicing as the Son returns to heaven. What a wonderful entry that must have been as He entered into heaven. What rejoicing. There is a reference, of course, to the Levitical priesthood. In verse 7 we read about the Day of Atonement. Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The high priest entered into the Holy of Holies. This place in the temple where there was the mercy seat, where God had promised in a particular way to be present. On the mercy seat. That place that was kept guarded by these veils, these great heavy veils. The high priest alone only able to go in once a year, and that after very careful preparation, wearing different robes to the robes which he normally wore. A very careful procedure needing to be observed. Only the once in a year was he allowed to enter, and no one else was ever allowed to enter into that place. And yet he had to go back every year. Only accessible once a year, there was no free access. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. There was no free access, as it were, at that time. The veil kept us out. But the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is not this mere earthly holy of holies made with hands, holy places made with hands, but heaven itself. Once and for all, He entered into heaven itself. And as He entered into heaven itself, as the sacrifice was accomplished, that veil was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. No one could reach up to the top. It was as though God had reached down from heaven to rip that veil apart. That veil that had signified that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest. That veil went apart to signify that that way was now made manifest through that wonderful work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Levitical high priest, just once a year, was able to enter. Had to be repeated again and again and again over the history of the Jewish nation. But the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ entered into heaven once, never to leave. That way permanently open, the veil rent, free access. Do you see something for yourself of the glory of the Lord and Savior's entry into heaven? Do you rejoice at the thought of what a sight it must have been? Are you rejoicing that the Savior is now in heaven, having achieved that work which He came to accomplish? Do you see the value of that work? Do you see the value of that for yourself? How did the Savior accomplish this? The Levites, we see in verse 7, into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Verse 12 here again, neither by the blood of goats and calves. The Levites had to carry out these sacrifices of various beasts, the blood of goats, the blood of calves. That was needed for themselves to make themselves ceremonially fit, at least, to enter into the Holy of Holies, there to sacrifice for the people. And that in itself could not achieve anything. If that could achieve anything of itself, it would not need to be repeated. But it was a type. It prefigured what was going to come to pass in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 9, this was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. This was a figure until the time of Reformation. They were outward carnal indignations. They could indicate what was to come. But the time of Reformation had now come. And the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had come as the great antitype. And by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Not by the blood of bulls and of goats and of calves, that could not in itself have any effect, but by his own blood, that which alone could achieve that which was desired. It required one who was perfect. Man has fallen, could not have achieved that. It required one who was not under the law to take our place under the law. The angels in heaven could not achieve that. It required the eternally begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, to shed his own blood. That alone could atone for sin. That alone could be effective to pay the penalty for our sin. Nothing else could do. It is because of who he is, the glorious Son of God. It is because of the purpose that that blood was shed, not for his own sins, but for the sins of his people. For your sins and my sins, if we are trusting in him, if we are looking to him alone for our forgiveness. He didn't shed his blood for himself. The high priest, the Levitical high priest, he had to go into the Holy of Holies. First of all, he had to sacrifice, to shed blood for his own sin, before he could shed blood on behalf of the sins of the people. But this one, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was perfect. He did not need to offer up a sacrifice to shed blood for his own sin, because he had none. Though he was tempted in all points, like as we are, every temptation that anyone has ever experienced, he experienced. And experienced to a far greater extent. For Satan knew that if he could find fault in this one, then Satan would be victorious for all time. And Christ will be defeated. But the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ remained perfect despite all the temptation that he endured. so that that blood that he shed was effective in the atonement for sin, in providing forgiveness for sin, for all who will come unto him, pleading his finished work. Not in anything that we can do, but his finished work. He is the fulfillment of that figure. Not in an outward carnal sacrifice, but in that glorious spiritual sacrifice as he offered up himself. What love was demonstrated there. He who knew no sin, taking upon himself all the sin of every child of God, from the beginning of time to the end, to ensure salvation. And that salvation for all who trust in him is ensured. How wonderful then is this work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see something of the wonder of that work for yourself? And as we meditate upon it, are you rejoicing in it afresh, even this night? Because that purpose was accomplished. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That redemption, paying the price to provide another's freedom. It has that picture of a slave, someone paying a price for that slave to, as it were, purchase that slave, not for himself, but that slave may go free. We are by nature in bondage to sin. Our fallen nature means that we have original sin, and that original sin showing itself in outward transgressions continually. All that we do, every thought, word, and deed, is marred by sin to a greater or lesser extent. We are in bondage, in slavery to sin. And we cannot provide the ransom price to free ourselves from that sin. There is nothing that we can do, nothing that we can achieve to free ourselves from our own sin. We need someone to provide that ransom price to redeem us from our sin. And here that was provided by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ perfectly. He knew exactly the price that needed to be paid. He paid exactly the price for each one of those who was given unto him in the covenant of grace, who would be drawn unto him to rest upon him. And he paid that price perfectly, fully. He satisfied divine justice. As the Father looked upon that sacrifice, as we read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he was satisfied. The price was paid. There was redemption. There was forgiveness, full and free for all who will come to him by faith. By his grace, a full redemption, eternal redemption, a redemption that cannot and that will not be taken back. Those for whom that price has been paid, that price has been paid once and for all. That redemption is a redemption that is eternal. Those who believe upon him shall be kept. By his grace, those who are unable to trust upon him, he will not let them go. He has provided this wonderful provision, fully and perfectly, so that those who come unto him by faith, who are drawn to him in the bonds of love, have that eternal freedom to serve and to love God. Freed from the bondage of sin. Not freed from sin that is still indwelling as sin. But sin that is forgiven. Cleansed. Washed in the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that there is that freedom to serve and to love and to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can we say that of ourselves? Can you say that of yourself this evening? Are you amongst those who are redeemed by the grace of God, seeing the preciousness of the work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Perhaps full of fears and doubts. Oh, he is precious, but why don't I love him more? Can we turn our back on him? Why don't I serve him better? Can we deny him? Why can I not worship him more than I could? Can we despise him? Oh, let us meditate upon these things and let us stir ourselves up to love and to serve and to worship the Savior more and more. Let us meditate upon these things that we would be stirring ourselves up in that way. But if it means nothing to you, if you see nothing in this one that is attractive, see what it is that you are missing. Helpless, in bondage to sin, lost, without God, without hope in the world. See what it is that you are missing. And seek that the Lord in his mercy would draw you to himself, that you would know this glorious joy for yourself. May the Lord grant it in his mercy for his glory.